Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black, and we're at 97.9 FM WCHL. And in our showcase in this segment, we are featuring the Carolina Campus Community Garden, and Claire Lorch, who runs the program, has graciously come to explain everything you wanted to know about the community garden. And recently, we've seen a surge in community gardens, and I think she'll address why that has happened. So welcome, Claire.
I am glad to be here, Fred.
And you're a part of UNC.
We are a part of UNC, and we're actually under the North Carolina Botanical Garden. Which is also part of UNC. Yes.
Well, that's great that you could take time to come and tell us a little bit about. How did this start?
This started back in 2009. It was during the Great Recession, and a community of people had a growing concern about the impact the recession was having on particularly UNC's lowest wage workers. Many of them had held second and even third jobs and had lost them during the recession.
Because people cut back on.
That's right. And they were really struggling to feed their families. There was talk of starting a food bank, and the idea emerged to start a garden.
With fresh fruits and vegetables.
That's right. And there was a lot of enthusiasm early on. It did take us about a year to convince the university that this was a good idea, but they finally signed on and they agreed to lend us a parcel of land for that purpose.
So it seems natural that if you're going to have a garden, it would probably be appropriate for the botanical garden to have something to do with it.
That was absolutely our sense, that that was a very natural home for this project.
So you got a piece of ground.
We got a piece of ground, and we quickly formed an advisory board.
Well, who knows anything about farming at UNC?
You'd be surprised, actually. You'd be surprised. There was already a student garden that had been at this on this parcel of land, and quite a few people had at least done their home gardening.
Oh, okay.
And then we started reaching out to all the many people in the community that did have the expertise.
And they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing.
So you got some dirt, and then you got some seeds.
That's
right. Had to have tools also, right?
Right. And we were really lucky. We got a lot of in-kind donations. We did get some startup or seed money from Stroud Roses, a wonderful foundation in the community that was very supportive of what we were doing.
And I remember.
You do. And so they supported a very part-time garden manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, again, that was even before we dug our first
bed. Where are you physically located?
We are located on Wilson Street, which is off Cameron Avenue, one block away from the Carolina Inn, very close to—
When you come out of that parking lot there, you—
That's right.
Go down. Okay.
That's right. Very close to Grenville Towers.
Okay.
For people who know where that is. And we really take up most of that block.
And that makes it convenient for the people.
That's right. It's walking distance for anybody on campus. And we also invite any of the neighbors to come and join us. And
what was the design goal? What did you see as the initial goal?
Well, the mission— the mission of the garden the primary mission was to grow vegetables and fruit so that all employees would have access to fresh garden produce. The secondary goal was really to create a learning community so that people would be able to develop gardening skills.
And they could do it at home?
Well, I mean, the idea would be that they would do it at the garden. Right. We would serve as a sort of learning community, learning laboratory for developing gardening skills, healthy living, and social responsibility.
And food insecurity, as you said, got a lot of attention during that recession period. We found out that just because you have a job doesn't mean you're able to buy the food
Absolutely.
You need.
Absolutely.
And that was all across the community. We saw this food insecurity, and especially when we talk about children.
Right. I think early on there was some confusion about that. I think people would question us as to why are we giving the food to people that have jobs, and rather than people, say, who are homeless or who are unemployed. And the feeling was that as you said, there were people that, yes, they had jobs, but they might be single mothers, they might have several children, and even the job didn't always cover all of their expenses. So we felt like, let's start at home.
So how did you decide what you're going to grow in the garden? Did you ask potential recipients?
We did. We mm-hmm. definitely did.
That sounds like a smart way
yeah,
to go.
I want to mention, too, that we decided early on that we would focus our – the target population would be the UNC housekeepers. There are 400 of them. It's the largest department on campus. It's really primarily an invisible workforce, really I think most of the housekeepers work second and third shift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went to school there as an undergraduate, as a graduate, worked there many years, and rarely did I ever interact with
our invisible employees,
Right, but they do such an important job. They keep the buildings clean, safe, the dormitory so that all the students can live comfortably. So it seemed like let's start with this group of people. In identifying what to grow, mm-hmm. we when we talked to them, we learned that 40% of the housekeeping staff are refugees from Burma.
Mm-hmm. That's become a real employment center.
It has. And so we, in thinking about what to grow, we wanted to grow not only your southern staples like okra and sweet potatoes, et cetera, but we also wanted to grow some of the more unusual things that perhaps the primarily Korean population might not be able to purchase at the local food
Were
line.
There soil issues for that kind of a thing?
No. You know,
soil works both places.
Yep, it does. I mean, I think there's some things we don't grow because the climate might not be right, though others, I think, transplanting traditions, for instance.
Well, I think some of our listeners are going to be surprised at this because we think of North Carolina State as
right.
the agricultural place and North Carolina, you know, the University of North Carolina, you don't think of them as having a garden or a farm or any of that kind of thing.
There are more and more students coming to UNC at Chapel Hill who are really interested in sustainability and food access, and they're really eager to learn how to grow their own food. And so what better way to do it?
Well, when we come back from our break, let's talk about that and the role that students play and others on the staff and faculty play in making all of this work. Because, what, you're year six?
That's
so
right.
So the model is surely showing some great success. So this is a Nonprofit Showcase with Fred Black, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is 97.9 WCHL, and today we have the Carolina Campus Community Garden Coordinator, Claire Lorch, and we're happy to have Claire explain about this garden at UNC Chapel Hill. And I was saying in the last segment, everybody thinks about North Carolina State as being agriculturally oriented, but Claire, you have just made the comment about students who are interested in sustainability and these sorts of issues and how they get involved.
Right. In fact, I just spoke with a incoming graduate student who told me that one reason he chose UNC Chapel Hill was because of our garden. So things are changing.
That is amazing.
I was pretty surprised.
Because there was a student garden that started a few years before you.
That's right. And we merged. And there is also still a student-run garden called Hope Garden. So
Hope,
mm-hmm. which is also a wonderful program.
So what do students do?
Well, students come. We have work days 3 days a week. So Sundays, 3 to 5, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 4 to 6. And students, as well as anybody, we have staff, we have faculty, we have lots of community members that come. And there's a whole variety of tasks. It varies day to day, but an example might be coming and right now we're prepping beds for fall planting, so we're going to be adding compost and
what kind of things would you grow in the fall, since
I
don't know about growing?
Collards, cabbage, spinach, lettuce, so lots of greens. We're going to be growing sugar snaps, carrots, beets.
So tomatoes are finished now,
tomatoes
right?
Tomatoes are about finished. We just pulled up some of our tomatoes.
And
yes.
Potatoes? You've already done the potatoes?
Done potatoes. We still have peppers and eggplant and okra, but they'll be finished.
Cucumbers and squash.
That's all summer. That's all summer. So, but we're about ready to move into the fall, and we're really glad that the students are back because they do a tremendous amount of work in the garden.
Well, you know, I've done any number of interviews with nonprofits, and most of the executive directors say the same thing, that we are such a blessed community because of what UNC students contribute. And sometimes they're more willing volunteers than they actually have work to keep busy.
That's right.
And so I suspect if you're out there weeding and doing all the things you have to do for a garden, you need a lot of labor.
We do need
strong
a lot.
Backs.
That's right. We rarely run out of task for people to do. And you're right, there's always weeding, but there's lots and lots of other things. We have a big compost operation that we rely on heavily to build up our soil.
Oh, you compost right
yes,
there?
Yes, we do. We now have, I think, 11 compost bins. We
and you obviously have access to water.
We have access to water thanks to the university. And people, we actually have a compost bin right outside our garden, so it's available 24/7.
People can come by.
People can bring their compost, and they do. Lots of neighbors, you know, mothers with children and dogs walk by the garden and drop off their compost. So we feel very
fortunate. You've become a real community.
It feels
hence
that
the
way.
Name.
That's right. And I think – and our volunteers tell us that. And, you know, we have some of our volunteers, for instance, we've got Chris who is a – now he's a lawyer. He started volunteering with us when he was in law school at UNC. He now lives in Raleigh, and he still comes every Sunday. And he sort of – he and Simone, who's a high school student, are in charge of the compost. And it's a sort of messy, smelly operation, but they are there every single Sunday and working hard and – produce what we call black gold because it's just
amazing
beautiful.
Compost.
Right.
Now, high school students can do this for service learning credit?
And we couldn't do it without high school students in the summertime. You have to be 16 or older, but unless you want to bring a parent or a responsible adult. But yes, we encourage.
So you're supervised and
yes,
you're not taking responsibility.
Right.
I understand
we
all
really
that.
We really encourage high school students to come and really become part of the garden, and many of them do. And they end up teaching others who are new at gardening. So it's nice to see students like Simone really take a leadership in the garden.
And so if I were to interview one of those who's participated, what other than the obvious answer would they tell me they gain from this experience?
I think they would gain a they say that it's a wonderful stress reliever.
Ah, okay. I hadn't thought about that.
Gets them out of the library, gives them a chance, you know, to exercise. They get fresh air. They learn about new vegetables that they might not know otherwise. And I think they have a sense of giving back.
And they meet some people that they build bonds with,
that's
I assume.
That's right. And people of all ages. We have an 84-year-old volunteer who was really responsible for starting our herb garden, and she comes religiously to keep it watered. So it's really nice. Students have a chance to work with people of all ages and to work side by side with staff members and faculty members. And there's nothing quite as equalizing as working side by side in the dirt with somebody.
Yeah.
And so I think there are a
lot
of
you can be
benefits.
A higher up or
that's
a
right.
student
and it's
or
all,
whatever.
You know, we all get dirty out there together.
As you harvest your crop, how do you then get it to the hands of those who need the food?
We do distributions, and we do them at three different times so that we meet the needs of all shifts. So we do them at 6 a.m., we do them at 7:30 a.m., and we do them at 5:30 p.m., and we do them either at the garden or at the Newman Center, which is a Catholic student center.
Yeah, right across from Carolina
right,
Inn
right.
there.
And we couldn't do it without the Newman Center because not only do they give us space to do a distribution, but they also give us space in their refrigerators. So we are able to store the food. We harvest it at the workday, and then we
wash it and get it ready
right.
to be distributed.
Right. We also do, when possible, cooking demonstrations in conjunction with the distribution.
So and this is healthy cooking, I
healthy
assume.
Healthy cooking and introducing perhaps new foods to people, like some of the yard-long beans or gourds that we're growing for some of our refugee housekeepers, or it might be new ways of cooking more familiar vegetables.
Well, do they teach various things from their culture?
You know, we haven't done other than sort of informally, but we've talked about doing that, and we need to do that because I'm sure there is so much to learn. We do have – sometimes we have housekeepers come and volunteer with us, and we currently have a woman from Guatemala who actually brought some seeds from her country and planted them in our garden because you can't get them around here. So that was fun, and we all learned something.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, just the diversity of the population and the various things we like or never have had before, and those opportunities that you've now given people, and you know, making this more than just a campus endeavor, but you've expanded into the community where you're allowing others to come and participate.
We welcome others. We really do. It's a richer environment for everyone when we have neighbors, when we have retired folks.
So you're growing more than crops. You're growing people in a sense.
Community. We like to think that we're growing community.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to take a break again. I know it's been quick. And we'll be right back with Nonprofit Showcase and your host, Fred Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and we're at 97.9 FM WCHL, and Claire Lorch is with us, and she's in charge of the Carolina Campus Community Garden, which is just an amazing endeavor. And in the first two segments, she was telling us all about all the things they grow and how their process worked. But I was going to ask you, Claire, what happens if somebody wants to talk to you or volunteer or do some of those other neat things?
Well, they can contact me directly via my email at clorch, L-O-R-C-H, at email.unc.edu, or they can Google UNC Garden, and they'll see our website.
And your address will be on there anyway.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And we welcome anybody to contact who has any interest at all, has questions. We would love to have them at the garden.
Well, one of the things that struck me, I was looking at your website, and there was a page where you have a Greek weed dating event, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes, we've held a weed dating as opposed to speed dating the last few years, and this most recent year we invited a sorority and a fraternity that to come out to the garden. And it was a way for them to meet and interact each other while doing something that would benefit the garden in a very sort of low-stress
I can just
activity.
Imagine some guy telling his parents, I met this nice young lady while we were weeding at the campus garden.
You're absolutely
and saying,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, it's been pretty much fun. And no marriages yet, but we haven't given up.
Some may grow, huh?
That's right.
So if somebody wants to volunteer, what can they do?
Again, check the website or they can contact me. And they can also just come to a work day. They can just show up and we will hand them
a
shovel.
And when are those work days again?
Sundays, 3 to 5, and Tuesdays and Wednesdays right now, 4 to 6.
And come appropriately addressed and bring your gloves,
right? That's
right,
yeah. People, if they're interested in helping in other ways, they can, we're always looking for funding, of course. They can become a member of the North Carolina Botanical Garden. We are in the process of constructing a solar-powered greenhouse, and we'll need funds to equip the greenhouse, so we would love to get your donations.
And these are all tax-free donations because you're a nonprofit.
Right. Yep.
And so they can do that and help build this wonderful community.
They certainly can.
What sort of feedback have you gotten from the employees over these 6 years?
You know, one that struck me was from one of the housekeepers. She said, the food distributions make us feel like the university cares about us as people and not just housekeepers.
As people.
A faculty member told me very recently that she thought this was one of the best things that the university does. It's not uncommon for staff members to notify me and just say how proud they are to be that the university is doing this for its employees.
Well, I think that's such an important point, given that those of us who've been around a little while know about some of the more tumultuous days in the housekeeping university relationship. So to hear that, it just says a lot. And I know you must feel a great deal of pride being involved with this program.
It has been very gratifying. It really has created, I think, a lot of goodwill with the housekeeping folks, with the town. I think that the town is really happy to support us.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. But thank you so much, Claire, for telling us about the Carolina Campus Community Garden. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with Fred Black.